It's May the 4th, everyone, 2020, and who'd have thought that you'd be celebrating at home on a Monday of all days? Well, it's because it's a unique time, and being that it's a unique time, I'm going to try to focus more on the positive stuff of about what this day actually meant before Disney came along and ruined the whole thing. So I want to say May the 4th be with you, but May the 4th be with you. Okay, so what do we got? We have that in the past 10 years, Disney has taken the most profitable IP in Hollywood and threw it into the crapper. If you don't agree with the sentiment, I'm sorry. That's just a simple fact. It's the truth. You don't take what's classic and the nostalgia, tell us that it's all worthless and destroy it, and then try to get our goodwill back with the freaking crap that was The Fall of Palpatine or whatever you guys call it. I think you guys call it The Rise of Skywalker. I never liked J.J. Abrams when I caught onto his shtick. The guy can make things look pretty. He cannot tell a story. He cannot do something original and make it stick. What about Super 8? Again, he's trying to pull from E.T. No, he entirely sucks and he can't finish a freaking story. And trying to do basically a trilogy in one movie was, it was going to meet disaster. The only movie I can point to under the Disney umbrella that almost went down the crapper but was essentially restored was Rogue One, a movie that I actually really, really enjoyed. And I think Michael Giacchino swooping in at the last minute to rewrite the score that Alexander Desplat was working on, which, oh my goodness, what would you have done, Alexandre? I really want to know. But instead we got Michael Giacchino's work, which I think still paid a pretty good homage, because when Michael Giacchino was offered this and had like 3 or 4 weeks or whatever to write music for this film, he was like, I don't know if I could do this. And a friend of him told him, like, dude, you've been writing this score for all your life. Just do it. He's like, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, I could totally see that happening, him geeking out. And that one does tell a really good story, great character driven. But in the early trailers, it was almost showing you which direction, it was teasing you which direction Disney was going with the Star Wars. And it was going to be social justice warriors, gender identity, politics. And it's because of that Star Wars has been entirely ruined. That's why Disney's been losing a ton of money on that. That's why a lot of merchandising toys have been pulled out. And that's why they've been redirecting their efforts to try to win you over with Baby Yoda. And also with, the Star Wars Clone Wars, which is an excellent show on its own right, as far as I understand it. I haven't seen it all, but I do know a lot of the story, a lot of spoilers too. But it's okay, I'll eventually get around to it, because it officially closed out and everybody said it was a happy ending. And not like if the ending was happy, no, they're satisfied with the way it ended. So I'm like, okay, cool, I'll end up giving it a go because I had my concerns about it. And I'm glad it ended strong, because I did start the show years ago, but never really got through to it because, first of all, I didn't have cable. Well, anyway, that's that. And I do want to talk about the positive of things, because I can get hung up on Kathleen Kennedy driving me insane and saying, oh, there's just no established material to pull from. Are you kidding me? There's like 50, 60 years of canon. What are you talking about? Where are you living? But whatever. Now that I basically vented that out, I can tell you about what this day really meant to me. Well, not so much today, but what Star Wars means to me, because I recently actually got to watch Star Wars with my kids. We watched the original trilogy and they flat out loved it. Yeah, there's some nightmarish parts for them because they're youngins, but they really loved it. And we gave it a go with The Phantom Menace thereafter. We didn't get to close it out. I thought it might be a little too brutal. That's how young my kids are, but they were into it. A little bored, but they were into it. They definitely enjoyed the original trilogy a ton. And I did want to watch the Force Awakens with them, but because need I say more, I can't even go back to that movie. I enjoyed it. Let me rephrase. I didn't enjoy The Force Awakens the first time I watched it in the IMAX. When I saw it, I'm like, well, they remade A New Hope and they killed off Han for no reason other than to just say that they just think tragic, and they made freaking Rey hug a woman she's never seen before. It's almost like she was a stand-in for the audience. I don't know if she's gonna be a Mary Sue, but anyway, I kept thinking, you know, there's something really off here. Like, I see where JJ could have gone with this and using more practical effects instead of relying on 3D and stuff like George Lucas did with the second and third episodes of the trilogy, of the prequel trilogy. But I'm like, there's something, the magic was wearing off for me, and I wasn't entirely sure what to make of all that. So now that we've seen it all play out, I really hate it. So I can't even go back and look at these characters. I'm like, dude, what is the point of starting an adventure if you know where it's going to go and you don't like where it's going? It's like, you know what? Forget it. Don't care. Don't want it. So I just show him some highlights of The Force Awakens. But the original trilogy, how my kids were shaking with the appearance of Darth Vader. I'm like, wow, seeing it from a kid's eyes, you know, when they saw the first Battle of Yavin to go take on the first Death Star, like, whoa. And the intention that they got when Luke was flying through the trenches, like, oh my goodness, all those other planes were hit though, and then Vader chasing him, go Luke, go Luke, go Luke, and my daughter couldn't even stand the tension. She was hiding behind the couch, like, oh my gosh, let me know when it's over. Then, use the Force, Luke, let go. Like, what? What's going on, Daddy? And then, Luke did it, Luke did it. You know, that's something I'm going to remember always. And some other episode I'll tell you about the first time I showed Toy Story to my kids. My second born was about a year and a half. He was aware. He wasn't able to communicate so much, but he was aware. And my daughter was 3 and a half. And they were both standing in front of my computer at my home office because I had to babysit them while I was working. And I put Toy Story on for them. And when Woody gets off the bed, like, pull my string, the birthday party's today? This is a cartoon. But it's already established that it's a cartoon kid playing with toys. So the my kids connected with that already. Because the toys are supposed to be inanimate. So then when Woody gets up, the Kodak moment, I wish I could have got, I didn't expect that. Their jawlines dropped, they sucked in their air. My 1.5-year-old's food was almost falling out because he's shocked. The toy woke up and spoke. That joy was pretty close to Star Wars because they were so intense, they couldn't even get through the Luke Skywalker Darth Vader battle the first time around. And they're like, what happened to Han Solo? Why is he in that Lego brick? It's like, oh, well, he's frozen in carbonite. So what's that, Daddy? Something made up. But he's frozen in the brick and they have to go save him later. And then, like, Luke losing to Vader, like, oh my gosh, Vader's too strong. And it's like, wait, that's his father? Oh, man, the less you know, the better. So, yes, I could tell you that those are awesome moments. And we did enjoy the Last Jedi, and I'm sorry I cannot enjoy the new generational stuff with my kiddos. Not that way, not after what Disney did to it. But I can at least point to Rogue One being a movie that once they grow up a little more, we'll be able to watch, because it is a lot more on the actual war side, and because it doesn't actually have a happy ending. Spoiler alert! That's why I don't want it to be too heavy for little young minds that are used to more happy endings. So, yes, I'm looking forward to that. That eventuality. But I think more so now that I know this, I think one of the adventures I'm so much more looking forward to take with them all is checking out the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. But mostly Clone Wars now that it's wrapped up supposedly. And I do, the first concern originally with Ahsoka Tano was she's going to be just a bland Mary Sue without any dimension to her, but ended up becoming one of the most favored, probably one of the best Star Wars characters made since Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Leia. So I'm looking forward to that because I respect her as a character as everyone else has come to respect her, and that's coming from someone that hasn't even seen the stories. So I'm looking forward to experiencing that with my kids, with established canon, without having to be muddled or ruined by the freaking new Disney movies. But anyway, that's that. And for those of you asking, Andres, what about The Mandalorian? I wanted to. I'm the one that said give that a chance. Give The Mandalorian a chance. But then when they try to tie in Baby Yoda doing his thing so Rey can do it in that last Star Wars movie, that's when I knew that they were tying in Mandalorian to the already berated and much maligned new Star Wars trilogy, which I don't even consider Star Wars. It's just a bunch of fan fiction by someone that doesn't understand Star Wars. So, like, you know what? I'm not interested in that. And Mandalorian's basically getting ruined by that. Jon Favreau started something really cool, which of course, Lucasfilm had to try to connect to their main universe. So now the rumor is that season 2 of Mandalorian is going to explore the roots of how the hell Palpatine survived in the first place. Oh, but wait, he's a clone. Make up your mind. He's either a damn clone, as in the book says, or he is somehow he survived. And George Lucas says he didn't. Ian McDermott said, oh, I didn't even know what was going to be part of that. I thought he was dead for sure. He is dead. And now the rise of Palpatine, the rise of Skywalker, right? Fine, whatever. It tried to retcon what freaking Rian Johnson tried ruining for everybody after laying the groundwork in A Force Awakens that Rian Johnson said, I didn't even look at that crap. So then J.J. Abrams like, oh, what the flip did you do, man? Now I got everybody that I got to appease. He tried to appease everybody and appease no one. So, okay, you appease no one because you tried to appease every single fandom, the Reylos, the Last Jedi supporters, and the Last Jedi haters, and then you try to appease everybody, you didn't appease anybody. So, but you try to retcon The Last Jedi, and then the stupid book that comes out that you should have read somehow, and so you could know what the hell is even going on, was retconning the movie that you didn't really understand. It's like, wait, they can transfer what now through the Force? Oh. Sorry, folks, I could go off on this thing like crazy. Like what happened to my Star Wars? I try to get my wife into this, like, honey, don't even bother. But for my kids, I can enjoy the original trilogy, and I will continue doing so. And I will raise them right as a Star Wars parent. I will teach them the ways of the true Force, not this farce that's out there. So, with that said, may the Force be with you. And yes, I thought BB-8 was cute. I just didn't think that he was widely necessary. If you're still going to use 3-3PO and freaking R2, why did we need BB-8? He's still cool though. Still cool. But what's the name of that robot from Rogue One? He was the best one. That sarcastic, dark humor dude, voiced by Alan Tudyk. That's the best droid. Changed my mind. That's it, everybody, for this one. I'm Andres, and this has been Off the Record.